This is Jordan Seculo. Today on Jay Seculo Live, will healthcare finally get a vote in the U.S. Senate tomorrow? It's scheduled.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to Jay Seculo Live. This is Jordan Seculo. Another busy week ahead in Washington, D.C. And I say that because as of this moment, as I'm coming to you live, our government affairs director, Than Bennett, who will be joining us later in the broadcast today out of our Washington, D.C. studio, is in a meeting with Senate leaders and staff. And the vote to move forward, the motion to proceed on the health care vote, is scheduled. Now, it's all tentative, but it's scheduled for tomorrow. What does that mean? We better take action right now, because if this vote moves forward, we better make sure that we've got the 50 votes there, plus Vice President Pence, if necessary, to at least be able to even proceed on the vote to actually repeal Obamacare. It's a repeal with an asterisk because it zeroes it out, but this is what you can do through reconciliation. So let's not forget the senators we need to be calling, the people we need to be reaching out to. And if you have contacted these senators, I'd love to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us live on the air today, we have asked people to call specific senators. Senator Jerry Moran out of Kansas, who voted yes on the exact same bill in 2015. All of them voted when it was an easy political campaign vote because they knew President Obama would veto it. So all these people I'm giving you are now wavering or have said maybe not, and they all voted for it and ran on it for re-election and during their campaigns to repeal Obamacare. They used their votes in favor. Now they're wavering or have even said no. So call Senator Jerry Moran out of Kansas, Senator Rob Portman from Ohio, Senator Lisa Murkowski from Alaska, Senator Shelley Moore Capito from West Virginia, who, by the way, will be with President Trump later today at an event in West Virginia, and Senator Dean Heller of Nevada. You contact them through their D.C. offices. That's where you want to go. So you call the Capitol switchboard. The number you call is 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. You ask to speak with one of those Senate offices. You'll likely get a staff person, and you want to make it clear. Vote yes on the motion to proceed, and vote yes like you did in 2015 on repealing Obamacare. Don't be a hypocrite about this. So let those five senators know how you feel about the motion to proceed and the repeal of Obamacare. Call them at 202-224-3121. Of course, it was a busy weekend again for our chief counsel, the head of the ACLJ, but also one of the president's outside attorneys. He didn't do all five morning shows. The White House team kind of split that up with Scaramucci and his new appointment as communications director, as Sarah Huckabee Sanders as press secretary, and then my dad appearing on George Stephanopoulos on ABC This Week. Let's take a quick listen.
You're a constitutional lawyer. Do you believe the president can pardon himself?
I don't think that you can. That first of all, it's never been adjudicated. Whether a president could pardon himself, because it's not happened. But clearly the Constitution does vest a plenary pardon power within the presidency. Whether it would apply to the president himself, I think ultimately would be a matter for a court to decide if it were to ever come into an existence.
So we will get into Russia a little bit later in the broadcast in this first half hour, because obviously, one, I think this whole pardon issue is a bit of fake news, because one, there's nothing to pardon because there's no crimes. Two, it's never been, you know, obviously the president's tweeted out, yeah, I have pardon power. I mean, it's clear in Article 2, Section 2, but this whole idea, can you pardon yourself? And it's never been done before. And what would happen? It's not going to be necessary. It's just a news story. It's a news item. But again, my dad was out in full force defending the president on one of those big morning shows back to back again. So, folks, we want to hear from you. Have you contacted your senators about Obamacare? Russia, Jared Kushner testifying behind closed doors, but released a long statement that we will go through as well. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us today on Jay Seculo Live. We'll be right back. Senate scheduled to vote tomorrow on the motion to proceed to repeal Obamacare.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Joining us tomorrow, the Senate, now it's always tentative, and they're not even into the August recess yet, but the Senate is scheduled to vote on the motion to proceed. That would be the first vote necessary to get to the repeal of Obamacare. You've got to have 51 votes. Vice President Pence could cast the 51st vote. Senator McCain, have any reports about whether or not he'd be able to be in Washington? Not yet. We don't know reports. So, I mean, you may not be able to lose more than one Republican to get this over the line if all are there but Senator McCain. So there's some questions there about how important this vote will be. Now, this is a vote just to allow the repeal and the repeal and replace, those two different proposals through reconciliation, to allow them to move forward on the floor of the U.S. Senate for votes and amendments in that process. Now, the key question are the five Republican senators who voted for this exact repeal language in 2015, December of 2015, then voted again when they tried to override President Obama's veto, then used it in their campaigns. And now two of them are close to saying absolutely not. They haven't gone all the way there, but we haven't given up on them, but they are really wavering. So first off, you need to call Senator Shelley Moore Capito's office. She's in from West Virginia. Lisa Murkowski, she's in Alaska, Senator Dean Heller in Nevada, Senator Portman in Ohio, Senator Moran in Kansas. The number you call is the Capitol switchboard. It's 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. You ask them to vote on the motion to proceed tomorrow. It's scheduled for tomorrow, folks. This is why you got to pick up that phone and start calling those senators. The vote is scheduled for tomorrow. So you ask them to vote on the motion to proceed and vote the same way they did in December of 2015 to repeal Obamacare. It's very simple. You call the Capitol switchboard, you just ask for their Senate office, 202-224-3121. We will go right to the phones. Phone lines are working now. It's 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Robert's calling in from Maryland on line 3. Robert, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yeah, hi. How you doing, Jordan? I wanted to let you know I did call all five senators that the ACLJ recommended that we call for
Thank
the
you.
Repeal of Obamacare based on the 2015 vote that they took with the two-year transitional period. And I also wanted to ask the question, why is it that the media is not focusing in more attention when Hillary Clinton was the sitting Secretary of State, and, you know, her husband was a part of the Clinton Global Initiative and the Clinton Health Access and all but the Clinton Foundation. Why did the media not focus in more attention on her dealings with Russia through her husband to buy that, compared to when Donald Trump became president, and they have focused so much time on so-called his connections to Russia?
Well, I mean, one thing you mentioned, Robert, and I think it's clear, is that the loser doesn't get as much attention. You know, you could reopen investigations. They could be. I think that the Clinton Foundation, that investigation was never clear if that was closed in any of the Comey statements. The only part that was closed was the email server, but the Clinton Foundation itself may still be under investigation. We don't know. I mean, you're not supposed to really know. But the reason why they're not going to get as much attention at the congressional level is she's lost. She's probably out of politics forever, and so is her husband. And so the loser is never going to face the same kind of scrutiny, and they're going to try and look for things to blame. And Chuck Schumer, who is the Senate's Democrat leader, minority leader in the U.S. Senate, he finally came out on television and you know, he hesitantly admitted that it was Hillary Clinton and the Democrats' fault for losing the election, not Russia. Take a listen.
It is in part our fault. When you lose an election with someone who has, say, 40% popularity, you look in the mirror and say, what did we do wrong? And the number one thing that we did wrong is we didn't tell people what we stood for.
First of all, two issues with that. Every pundit was wrong about President Trump. So it was the campaign's fault for not showing up, Hillary Clinton's campaign's fault for not showing up in Wisconsin and the Rust Belt and ignoring those states, thinking that they had a lock and they were going to try to compete in states like Georgia, which ended up being a joke. So the pundits and the polls were wrong. That's part one. Part two, I think that they were pretty clear about what they stood for. Funding abortion, a foreign policy disaster, you know, not wanting to take the battle straight to ISIS, leading from behind. That's what they stood for. I mean, you may not like it. It obviously did not work for them. They wanted higher taxes. They wanted to put more money into the Affordable Care Act. All of that. They're very clear about that. That's just because the American people don't stand for these values. And I think you're not just seeing it in the last presidential election cycle. You've now seen it in the special elections as well, in times when even the president's been battered by the media and Republicans look like they're going to have a tough time, and even they, the candidates themselves, may not always be perfect. They won every special election that was contested. And the Democrats could have changed their message. They have not. They've gotten more liberal, more out of the mainstream. I want to continue, again, folks, taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. If you're joining us on Facebook and Periscope, make sure you click that share button. Share this with your friends and family, because this is important, that the Senate may actually vote tomorrow on the motion to proceed. This is huge, folks, and we only have maybe 24 hours here to get these five key senators on the phone to try and convince them to at least vote yes on the motion to proceed and vote on the repeal, the same exact language that they all voted and campaigned on, they voted for in 2015. So let's go to the phones. We got more calls about the Affordable Care Act. President Trump will be discussing health care from the White House this afternoon. Jared Kushner, after his testimony, which is behind closed doors of the Senate Judiciary Committee or Intelligence Committee, he will be giving some remarks at the White House later on today. He released 11-page prepared remarks. We'll go through some of those, I think, very strong and clear. But we do have calls on health care, and then we'll see what President Trump has to say about it later today. Gordy calling in from Ontario on line one. Hey, Gordy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you very much. Long-time member, long-time listener. God bless your show.
Thank you.
I've been doing a straw poll of average Americans while I drive around the U.S., and they just feel that it's something. The act was written by rich people who just don't understand the poor, and that's where I'm scratching my head with Capito. I'd also love to get a book if I could. I know I'm in Toronto. And does Lois Lerner get a pass from everything she did?
Well, Gordy, hang on the line. We'll get you a book, a signed book, and we appreciate you calling in. It seems like you are somebody who spends a lot of time in the United States and maybe trucking and throughout the country, going back and forth between either Canada and also the United States. Let me say, on the Affordable Care Act and Senator Capito, this is not about, it was never about the very poor, because the very poor receive Medicaid. We take care of them. There was an increase in that. This legislation would maintain that. that increase. But see, the Congressional Budget Office, Gordy, here's an interesting fact about them. Unless you raise the amount of money, if you just keep it the same as the year before, the money that goes to Medicaid, there are huge increases over the past few years. If you keep it the same for next year, they consider that a decrease. So it sounds like you're going to be spending less on those who are most in need in their health care through Medicaid. That's not the case. You're going to be spending the exact same amount you spent the year before. So that's one thing. Two, Lois Lerner still being deposed, still in court. Now, there would have to be a new DOJ prosecution potentially opened up there. We're still in civil court. We got our final client approval. The Albuquerque Tea Party, nearly 8 years to get their tax-exempt status. They were finally approved, but we're still in court and in the depositions process with individuals like Lois Lerner. So, Gordy, hang on the line. I appreciate your phone call. We'll get you one of those signed books as well. Let this call screener know if there's one that you'd like in particular. So we appreciate those. It's an international call. I mean, it's not too far away in Toronto, but it is an international call, and we appreciate that. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let me go to Joy in Alabama very quickly on line four. Joy, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi. My question was, since none of these people that you listed are, I'm not any of their constituent,
yep.
Should I still make the call, or does it have to be their constituents only?
Well, I think that it's both at this point. This is a national issue. These are people that were on the record, Joy, who voted for the exact same legislation when they knew President Obama would veto it. Now they're wavering or saying no when President Trump will actually sign the repeal into law. So you can absolutely call them. They campaigned on this. They ran on this. They were reelected on this issue of Obamacare from regardless of whatever state you live in. These senators are very national now in their leadership. Obviously, if you live in their home state, you may even have more influence. But that does not mean, I think that everybody needs to be calling these five senators today, regardless of what state you live in. Here are the five, Joy, and for everybody listening, I appreciate you asking that question. Senator Jerry Moran of Kansas, Senator Rob Portman of Ohio, Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Senator Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia, and Senator Dean Heller of Nevada. You can call all of them through the same phone number. It's the Capitol Switchboard, 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. And you are asking, you'll get a staffer on the phone or voicemail, possibly, if they're getting a lot of phone calls. And you should say, vote yes on the motion to proceed tomorrow to repeal Obamacare, and vote like you did in December of 2015. That's clear. In December of 2015 to repeal Obamacare. Cast the same yes vote. We'll be right back talking to you on Jay Secchio Live.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-9-9-9. 989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Folks, if you are calling in to talk healthcare, don't worry. We will take your phone calls. That is our focus day on the show. But I don't want to ignore any of the Russia issues swirling around because Jared Kushner testified today before the Senate Intelligence Committee. That was behind closed doors. He's about to give some kind of remarks outside the White House. If the networks cover it, we may be able to break into some of that live. But he issued an 11-page his opening statement to the public because this would be behind closed doors. I think because you got to get ahead of the leaks, you get ahead of the spin, even in these behind closed doors hearings. And he concluded on the 11-page statement with this: "I did not collude, nor know of anyone else in the campaign who colluded with any foreign government. I had no improper contacts. I have not relied on Russian funds to finance my business activities in the private sector. I have tried to be fully transparent with regard to the filing of my SF-86 form." That's for his security clearance. "Above and beyond what is required. Hopefully this puts this matter to rest." We will walk through some of this statement with you. But Andy, again, this is a very strong statement because when you start doing this, whether it's under oath, and that may be unclear here, or not, you can't lie to Congress. So by making a statement this clear, here's my context. Here's why some weren't disclosed. There were some administrative errors. He goes through that. And again, I think it's a very clear statement.
I've read the statement. I was impressed with the clarity of the statement. I was impressed with the details of the statement. I mean, he apparently has kept good notes of what he did during the time of the campaign and the transition period. He was very thorough, and whoever helped him prepare this statement did an excellent job in making it very clear. He talks about campaign contacts with foreign persons. He couldn't even remember the Russian ambassador's name and had to ask for it on several occasions. Yeah. He talks about gifts that he received. And he makes it very clear that he receives a piece of art and some dirt from the native village where his grandparents were from. And he turned this over to the appropriate persons so that there was they could register them with the transition office.
Yeah, I mean, I look at this. I see first his campaign contacts with foreign persons. This is the key, right? Because what was going on with the campaign? So to all this talk, like, it's so unusual to have this any kind of foreign relation. Well, check this out. And this is from a statement on page 2. "When it became apparent that my father-in-law was going to be the Republican nominee for president, as normally happens, a number of officials from foreign countries attempted to reach out to the campaign. My father-in-law asked me to be a point of contact with these foreign countries." So that's why he was so involved with this. He was the number one point of contact for the campaign. "These were not contacts that I initiated, but over the course of the campaign, I had incoming contacts with the people from approximately 15 countries. I mean, think about that. 15 countries. He goes through then Russia specifically, Andy. "With respect to my contacts with Russia or Russian representatives during the campaign, there were hardly any. The first that I can recall was at the Mayflower Hotel in Washington, D.C. in April of 2016. That's when the candidate Trump delivered a major foreign policy speech. After that speech, I stopped into a reception to thank the host of the event, and it was the foreign policy event. He introduced me to several guests. Among them were four ambassadors, including the Russian ambassador." He said they shook hands and exchanged pleasantries. These were all less than a minute. He then calls out Reuters, Andy. So some fake news calling out right in here. And I wanted to get to this and get your comment, Andy. "Reuters News Service has reported that I had two calls with Ambassador Kislyak." That was the Russian ambassador. He is now done with being Russian ambassador to the United States. So Reuters reported that I had two calls with Ambassador Kislyak at some time between April and November of 2016. While I participated in thousands of calls during this period, I do not recall any such calals with the Russian ambassador. We've even reviewed the phone records available to us and have not been able to identify any calls to any number we know to be associated with Ambassador Kislyak, and I am highly skeptical these calls took place. A comprehensive review of my landline and cell phone records from the time does not reveal those calls. I had no ongoing relationship with the ambassador before the election and had limited knowledge about him then." So Andy calling out the fake news and Reuters and saying, right, you know, where do they even get this information? When he does this thorough review, he knows he's going to be testifying to Congress, does a thorough review of all of his phone records and can't find anything. I mean, they made it up.
Right. Well, he says, "Through my lawyer, I've asked Reuters to provide the dates on which the call supposedly occurred or the phone number at which I supposedly reached or was reached by Ambassador Kislyak. And then he concludes with this. The journalist, that is Reuters, refused to provide any corroborating evidence that they occurred. So where did this come from? Obviously, it was, as the president has called it, fake news and completely contrived and made up.
Yeah, I mean, and you realize, folks, he goes to through his lawyer to Reuters so that if this call happened, we'd all know about it. I mean, he wasn't like trying to hide it. He was saying, you guys said I did this. Where do you have the records of this? Because I need it for my forms.
Right.
I mean, he wanted to make sure, you know, if this is, I don't remember this. This seems very unlikely to me. And they won't give him any corroborating information, but yet they publish these stories. That is why even these basic news services like Reuters have become like fake news outlets as well. They used to just kind of report facts and then they'd be the news service. But now there's a spin on everything, an anonymous source, and they won't give any corroborating info. And they you know, the timeline is between what, a November and April or something like that. I mean, it's just absurd. We'll keep going through this again, and then we're going to get back to healthcare in the second half hour. I know people are hanging on to talk about that, but I did want to focus on Jared Kushner's testimony because you know the media is going to be all over this today, especially when he speaks outside the White House and because it was behind closed doors. So he talks about, again, the one meeting he left out until – reviewing his documents was the meeting that Donald Jr. asked if he was free to stop by in. This was interesting. Documents confirm my memory that this was calendared as meeting Don Jr., Jared Kushner. No one else was even mentioned. He said he didn't really go through his email. And he then goes on to say, when I got there, the person who had since been identified as a Russian attorney was talking about the issue of a ban on U.S. adoptions of Russian children. I had no idea why that topic was being raised and quickly determined that my time was not well spent at this meeting. Get this, Andy. I actually emailed an assistant from the meeting after I had been there for 10 or so minutes and wrote, can you please call me on my cell? I need an excuse to get out of the meeting. No part of the meeting I attended, including anything about the campaign. I mean, he was saying, like, right. get me out of this meeting. This is just somebody lobbying to have sanctions, you know, removed. And this adoption issue.
Yeah, he mentions that, and then he says there's one more possible contact, which he says someone named Guccifer 400, yeah. Which was a complete hoax. It was an extortion attempt, threatened to reveal President Trump's tax returns, and said that they wanted 52 bitcoins in exchange for not publishing the information. And what did he do with that? He turned it over to the Secret Service on the plane, and when they told him to ignore it and not to reply it. To it, which is exactly what he did, and the sender never contacted him again.
So that was the campaign contacts. Here's the transition contacts. He said he did meet with the ambassador to Russia, set that meeting up, and he asked him specifically. Now, this is during the transition because he was still that point of contact. He talks about the meeting. He said the meeting's purpose, and it was at Trump Tower. I mean, these were all pretty public. People were walking through right through the lobby there. He said, the fact that I was asking the ambassador of Russia about ways to start a dialogue after Election Day should, of course, be viewed as strong evidence that I was not aware of one that existed before Election Day. And so, again, Andy, this idea that they were just trying to get things ready because at that point they were transitioning to be the advisors to the leader of the free world.
That's correct.
We don't know what happened behind closed doors. I'm sure the Democrats were nasty, but this statement and what he says later today think goes a long way in clearing this up, hopefully.
I was very impressed with it. I was impressed with the details. I was impressed with the thoroughness of it, the fact that he had kept all the notes, obviously, and his recollection is excellent on what occurred, and I don't see that there was anything here that smells of collusion.
All right, folks, second half hour coming up on Jay Sekulow Live. If you don't get on your radio station, we're on Facebook and Periscope.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be double. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. And if you are just joining us, the Senate, as of now, is scheduled to hold its first vote, its motion to proceed vote on repealing Obamacare tomorrow. That is the tentative schedule. And when we get a schedule like this, even though we're used to this being, you know, delayed and things being pushed back, and we're not even into the August time period for when they would stay into the recess, that I think you have to take these 24 hours, and when you know that that may be it, and activate. And what we have focused on is five Republican senators who all voted to on this exact same repeal language in December of 2015, and then again in 2016, when they tried to override the president's veto, who are now wavering on the issue and may not vote for it this time because it would actually become law. This is the repeal that zeroes out Obamacare completely and then gives a 2-year transition period for the Senate and Congress to come up with a better health care plan for the American people. So it doesn't punish anybody. It kind of stabilizes things for a couple of years, knowing that something else is coming that's better, and it zeroes out the Obamacare taxes. Here are the senators we need you to call in the next, really, I mean, it's today, or maybe you'll have some time in the morning if this schedule stays on the record, because their vote is very key on just getting the motion to proceed, allowing the debate to open up on the repeal vote. The five senators are Senator Jerry Moran of Kansas, Senator Rob Portman of Ohio, Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Senator Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia, and Senator Dean Heller of Nevada. They all have voted to repeal. They've all voted yes on this exact language before, but that was when it was an easy campaign vote that they knew President Obama would veto. Now they have President Trump with a pen ready to sign, and they're wavering. So call their office now. It's the same number. It's the Capitol switchboard. You want to call their D.C. office. You'll get a staff person, maybe voicemail, because we're asking people to call. So call all five, but the number you call is 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121, and you're asking these five senators to vote on the yes on the motion to proceed tomorrow, and yes on repeal like they did, repeal of Obamacare, just like they did in December of 2015. Not to be hypocrites, they've got a president ready to sign it. And folks, we are not the only people asking people to call. Planned Parenthood is too. So you are your ability to get grassroots involvement here, with it's just a limited number of people to contact, just five, who could be the key, who are the key. Remember, Planned Parenthood has got those phone lines also going into those offices, trying to scare these senators away from voting to repeal Obamacare. So remember, we are up against a very massive lobbying effort to convince these senators to keep the Affordable Care Act and to not repeal Obamacare. So give them a call, Senator Moran, Portman, Murkowski, Capito, and Heller at 202-224-3121. Let's go to the phones, take a quick call before we go into our first break. Mitchell in California on line 4. Mitchell, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. You guys have such a great team. I just want to say shout out to Stan. I just think he does an amazing job on the Hill there.
Yep.
Real quick question, sure, is why would anyone who kind of calls himself conservative even fall into the moderate conservative category?
Yeah.
Even think about not falling in line with the first phase here of just repealing, the whole Healthcare Act.
Well, I mean, that's the issue, is that the conservatives have lined up. You know, people like Rand Paul, who would oppose some of the immediate replacement, are now on board. Mike Lee's on board. Ted Cruz is on board. The issues now are with the conservative to moderate-leaning Republicans, the ones I'm mentioning, these five. These are probably some of the most moderate, if not the most moderate, Republicans in elected office at a federal level. So that's why. The conservatives have come on board with just the straight-out repeal, and that gives the 2-year transition to come up with a replacement. That's where we are today. We're going to continue to take your phone calls. This vote could be happening tomorrow, folks. You want to talk to us on the air? If you called one of these Senate offices or a few of them, we'd love to get your experience. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, has just left meetings on Capitol Hill. He'll be joining us very shortly from our Washington, D.C. studio, which is almost up and running with its video. So if you're a Facebook and Periscope viewer, you'll be able to see Than live as well very soon, maybe even as early as this week. But we still have the great radio connection there, and we're able to get his insight from meetings on Capitol Hill about the vote that is scheduled to take place tomorrow, as of right now, in the motion to proceed in the U.S. Senate to repeal Obamacare. I know people want to talk about this. There are five Republican senators who are key on this vote. We'll talk some of the Russia issue as well, but I think we've covered a lot of that. If Jared Kushner does the press conference while we are still on the air live, we may break into some of that because it's rare to hear him speak in that setting. But we've gone through his statement. I think the only thing I wanted to add from his statement, and then we're going right to healthcare, was that he's gotten a lot of criticism because he had to amend his security clearance form. And the first reason why was because his assistant submitted it too early. I mean, how early? He had not even filled out his father-in-law's address yet. I mean, his father-in-law being the president of the United States, Donald Trump. He didn't even put that address in, so it was not even complete. It was the assistant just made an error, you know, no big deal. You're allowed to amend these. But he didn't just leave out contacts with Russians. In the accidental early submission of the form, all foreign contacts were omitted. These included meetings with not just Russians, but individuals such as Jordan's King, Abdullah II, Israel's Prime Minister, Bibi Netanyahu, Mexico's Secretary of Foreign Affairs, and many more. All of these had been left off before. And over the last 6 months, I made every effort to provide the FBI, who handles the security clearance forms, with whatever info is needed to investigate my background. So I think that is key. It was not just Russia left off the forms. It was all of the meetings he had with international officials, including heads of states. These are, of course, good friends of the United States of America. Now, back to the phones, back to the healthcare issue. Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, is joining us now. He just left a meeting on Capitol Hill. Than, give us the update. Are we still looking at a motion to proceed vote tomorrow in the U.S. Senate?
It is still on the calendar to take place tomorrow, Jordan. Now, look, it's not a certainty that it will happen. They're still trying to find the 50 votes necessary to proceed. And I would just say this. It's very important for our listeners to understand exactly what the process is, because if that vote to proceed takes place tomorrow, Jordan, there is no excuse for any GOP senator, I don't care if it's Susan Collins or Mike Lee or any of the five that you've been talking about, to oppose that vote. Because, Jordan, as you've been stressing, I know, over the last week, that is simply to debate the bill. So if a GOP senator is going to vote no tomorrow or whenever that comes up. Jordan, what does that mean? That means that senator is not even willing to debate this issue. That motion to proceed is to get on the bill and to open the debate.
And so you say, you know, the earliest this could happen is tomorrow. That's what's out there right now. Dan, is it one of those votes where they would potentially go forward with it and not have, you know, the 51 votes? That, I mean, Senator McCain's not there, so you can't lose two on the motion to proceed. Or is this one that you think would keep getting pushed back until they were more confident? Or is this kind of it? I mean, that's what I'm trying to get a sense of that.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you two things. I think this week is it. I think this week is the decision point. Now, I will caveat that just a bit. I think it will take place tomorrow, except for maybe one possibility, Jordan, and that would be maybe that they've gotten to 49 commitments to proceed, and Senator McCain has not been able to make it back to D.C., but he's given an indication he can get there by the end of the week. All reads on that, Jordan, is that he's waiting for a medical clearance to fly. We don't have that officially, but that's what it seems to be. If that were the case and they needed his vote to get on the bill and they were going to have it within a matter of days, then I think maybe it could get pushed back. But
sure.
I will tell you this. If it becomes clear that this motion to proceed is going to fail, either way, I think they're going to take it, Jordan, and they're going to move on to tax reform, pass or fail. I think this is the decision week.
So that this, again, folks, I think it raises this level. This would not be, Than is not predicting something that we saw kind of like in the House when it was pulling it and not going forward, that the Senate would actually move forward if it's clear they can't get to 50 and just have the vote and put the people on the record and move on. Understand what Dan said, move on. And that is because reconciliation will be over for another year. So it'd be another year until you could do this with just 51 votes instead of getting through the 60-vote filibuster threshold. And you got to get to the next issues. And this has been a hurdle to getting to things like tax reform, Than, because the Affordable Care Act is basically taxes. So if you're going to do anything about it, you got to do it first. And if they decide they're not going to do anything about it, they don't have the votes to do anything about it, then you can get to some tax reform.
Yeah, that's right. And a couple of things there. I mean, the reconciliation instructions that we're talking about, Jordan, are holdovers from last year. And you do lose that opportunity if you lose them, because this year's reconciliation instructions have already been formatted and crafted for tax reform. So you're not going to shift those to health care. Those are going to be tax reform. And you're right. The 50-vote threshold for Obamacare repeal is gone if they don't get it. One more thing I would say, Jordan, for all of those senators, I don't think there's any excuse to vote no on the motion to proceed. But the way this works, the first vote out of the chute would likely be the 2015 repeal only language. But for all those senators out there that are saying we now don't want to vote only for repeal, we want a replacement package, well, guess what that senator has the opportunity to do? Put their ideas for replacement on the floor of the Senate. And Jordan, if they can get 50 senators, and they don't have to be Republicans, it can be Republicans, Democrat, or otherwise, if they can get the majority will of the Senate to go along, that repeal only would become repeal and replace. So again, even for those senators who are not comfortable with only repeal, there is no excuse for voting against the motion to proceed. They should vote yes, and then they should put their ideas on the floor of the Senate to see if they carry the day.
Yeah, let's go to the phones, take some calls now. We've got Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs. Charles calling in from Atlanta, Georgia, online too. Charles, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes, thank you for my call. I just wanted to remind people of Mary Landrieu. When Obamacare was being, you know, first voted on, she was called the Louisiana Purchase. And she sold her vote for Medicare benefits for her state. I think she ended up getting about $4 billion. And I wonder if Capito is not doing the same thing, maybe wanting to make sure she gets legislation or money to, say, get the coal industry going back in West Virginia, which would elevate her up in the status of her constituents very high. And maybe she's using it as a bargaining chip. And maybe the others are, too, because the ones that are the most of the holdouts are junior senators. They're junior senators. They came to the Senate in 2011. And I just wonder if they're using this in order to get recognition in their state get stuff for their vote.
I think Senator Capito has already got the coal, you know, industry back moving. And President Trump is literally there. So maybe some truth to your statement, Charles, because President Trump will be in West Virginia this afternoon at an event with Senator Capito. But, Than, I don't think she's going to get a lot of benefits for her state, and maybe even, you know, added benefits than what would just be good for the country, which I think the coal industry getting back to work is good for the country. So that's regardless of how she votes. But she's not going to make a lot of friends on Capitol Hill or with the president if this votes tomorrow and she's not voting yes to proceed.
Well, the caller makes a good point in this respect, that I do think some of these senators, Jordan, want certain aspects in the replacement provision. But I want to say this very clearly. None of those negotiations, even if they're taking place, should impact her vote on the motion to proceed or the 2015 bill. Because, Jordan, when that 2015 bill was on the floor, there was no replace in that bill. That was a repeal only, and you're talking about the same language that came forward. And she told her voters in West Virginia that if they sent her to Washington, D.C., when that same language came up, she would vote to repeal Obama. Obamacare. So if she now wants to negotiate additional things, either inside this package or, Jordan, after repeal in that two-year interim period, she is free to do it. She is one of 100 senators, but she must not switch her position that she promised her voters she would make. And I would just say, even if the caller's absolutely right about what she's doing, she still has to be a yes on the motion to proceed, and she still has to be a yes on the 2015 repeal language.
Let's go to Ron in Idaho on line one. Ron, thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I guess I've got two old questions in a way.
Sure.
Goes back to Nancy Pelosi. She said when they had the Affordable Care Act coming through, they had this bill, and nobody seemed to look at it. They said, well, you've got to pass it to be able
right.
to see what's in it. And then you come across the budget, Congressional Budget Office. I didn't hear a whimper about them on that.
No. Now, Ron, I mean, this is the double standard. And by the way, doesn't really at play here. As Than just explained, Than, we're talking about the more likely option here is one, you vote on the motion to proceed, then you open debate. The one that could probably get to 51 at this point, as it appears at least, is the repeal with the two-year transition, which has already been voted on in December of 2015 by these five holdout senators. Then they voted again to try and repeal President Obama's veto and override that. But now President Trump's ready to sign it. So this is basic. This is very, very simple. It zeroes out Obamacare with a two-year transition, and then the replacement would have to be put together during that time. And I think you get a lot more people working on that than just Republicans.
That's right. And that language, Jordan, is 8 pages long. Every U.S. senator has read it. And by the way, if the GOP wanted to put up their negotiated package, it's only 170 pages long. I've read it multiple times. They could all read it in a matter of hours. That could be offered as an amendment, and every senator could still read it.
Yeah, I mean, so you could still get an immediate replacement with a vote like this. I think it's more likely that it's that repeal with the two-year transition, but you don't know. What we do know is that we got to get to pass hurdle one, which is the motion to proceed. It's why you need to call these five senators, Senator Moran, Senator Portman, Senator Murkowski, Senator Capito, and Senator Heller. You call them by using the Capitol switchboard number and asking for their office, 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. Ask their staff, tell them to vote yes on the motion to proceed and vote yes, like they did in December of 2015, to repeal Obamacare with a two-year transition. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-9-LAW. 989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Okay, so folks, a little bit of Russia news. We got Jared Kushner. We've gone through his prepared remarks for you. I think they were very strong. There are 11 pages. You can find those online or go back and listen to the show. He may be making some public remarks. We may break to that if it happens during our last segment of the broadcast, but I really want to get to your phone calls on healthcare at 1-800-684-3110. I did an interview with Fox Business on Friday, and General Sessions came up. There's been a lot of news there about the president's criticism, and then it's his fault for Russia and all of this and that. And this latest story that, the Russian ambassador was heard by the NSA talking, and this is how the story was kind of presented, talking about the campaign with Senator Sessions. Well, that's not exactly what the NSA picked up. And, of course, this leaked out, another illegal leak of intelligence information, which is why the new communications director at the White House, Anthony Scaramucci, a good friend of ours, has said one of his top priorities is stopping the leaks from inside, even inside the White House, people who are supposed to be loyal to the president, this was not an intercept of a phone call between the Russian ambassador and Attorney General Sessions. It was an intercept of a phone call of the Russian ambassador telling his higher-ups in Russia, kind of like bragging, and I think probably talking more than he probably was even accurate. But what we're now going to start taking a Russian ambassador's word at face value, face value. All that's true. But the way the story was written again was that it was a conversation unmasked between then Senator Sessions and the Russian ambassador, and that was not the case. So again, whatever happens with Attorney General Sessions, he's been pretty clear after this week at least. It appears that he is going to remain in that position and continue to serve as Attorney General. Obviously, there were some tensions there, understandably, but at the same time, the country has got to move on. Now let's get right back. Well, let me play Anthony Scaramucci's talk about the leaks, because I'm glad somebody at the White House, other than the president, who cannot do it all on his own, is finally going to focus in on doing this, even from within. Take a listen to Anthony Scaramucci, the new White House communications director, Byte 31.
Tomorrow, I'm going to have a meeting with the communications staff and say, hey, I don't like these leaks. And so we're going to stop the leaks. And if we don't stop the leaks, I'm going to stop you. It's just really that simple.
So again, everybody gets kind of a clean slate, but if you do it, you're out. And I think that is the way, because a lot of junior staffers, a lot of holdovers, people that were bureaucrats who are kind of around, you've got to be able to stop the leaks from within your own house first. And in this case, it's the White House. But this one about the Russian phone call, that would have been NSA. Now back to healthcare we go. Let's go right to the phone. So we got Than Bennett, our director of government affairs. Andy calling in from Texas on line 3. Andy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes, thank you for taking my call, Jordan. My question's a hypothetical. Were the Senate to kill the repeal as is altogether right now, what would the aftermath be? And can President Trump issue a second round of repeal?
Okay, Than, I mean, I can answer that. President Trump cannot repeal this. He can sign it if they get it to his desk. He can issue executive orders on specific provisions. He's kind of done that. So is HHS, to as much as they can. But you've got to get some legislative legislation to his actual desk. What happens, Than? I don't like to think this way, but Than, if the Senate fails, what happens?
Well, they would need 60 votes to change Obamacare in any way, shape, or form through the legislative process, Jordan. So, look, I mean, this is a bleak picture, but we just need to tell our listeners as it is. Obamacare, as you know it, failing structure and all, would continue. And, Jordan, I think what would happen is for all of those people whose premiums are exploding and coverage options are disappearing, there would be great political pressure to prop up those markets. So I think what you would see is Republicans and Democrats trying to come together to, guess what, throw even more money at Obamacare to keep it at least up and running. It is a very dangerous and bad way to go down, but you cannot change it if you're outside the reconciliation process without 60 votes. Guess what that's going to mean? You need Democrats, and that means propping up the existing Obamacare structure.
All right, let's not get there, folks. We got time to work. The Senate is looking at voting on the motion to proceed. That's step one. As early as tomorrow, that's what's scheduled for right now. There are 5 Republican senators standing in the way, potentially. that need to get out of the way and need to vote the same way they did back in December 2015 when it was easier because they knew it wouldn't become law because President Obama was in office and vetoed it. And that's what he did. These are the five senators you need to call. Senator Jerry Moran of Kansas, Senator Rob Portman of Ohio, Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Senator Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia, and Senator Dean Heller of Nevada. You call this number. It's the Capitol Switchboard, 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. Do that between 9 and 5 Eastern Time, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's most likely when you're going to get the phone call answered. Sometimes the phone lines get busy. You'll get voicemail. You can leave a message. Here's what you say. One, vote yes on the motion to proceed tomorrow. Vote yes on the motion to proceed. And vote yes on the repeal of Obamacare with the two-year transition, just like you voted yes for that in December of 2015. Don't be a hypocrite. Vote the same way you did in December of 2015 on the repeal of Obamacare and vote yes on the motion to proceed. It's a very simple message. And you can call those five senators, Moran, Portman, Murkowski, Capito, and Heller at the number 202-224-3121. Back to the phones we go. Gene in California on line 5. Gene, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jordan. This is Jeannie. I have a comment that I would like to make since I'm a detail-oriented person.
Sure.
And wanted to comment on this. Currently, Obamacare is a federal tax. It's underneath payroll. And the younger generations, if they don't pick up insurance, they're penalized. I say, why can't we take that tax, convert it to a federal excise tax on all goods and services, a percentage determined by Congress? That way, that would be able to pay for the uninsured, the underinsured, and the pre-existing conditions. And even at that, as their lives change, that can be adjusted to when they do become employed.
Yeah, I mean, I think, Gene, if we were at a point where Congress could actually be that creative and clear, then, you know, I think we'd be debating those issues. But I think right now we're just trying to get to step one. I mean, we are, I don't even think we have to get into the debate around really creative ideas on how to improve things. We're just trying to get this bad law off the books. I mean, I think that's where we stand. I mean, Gene has great ideas that would all be interesting to look at, but we've got a Senate that can barely move on anything.
Yeah, you've probably got a listenership that would come down on both sides of that idea, but guess where that should be debated, Jordan? It should be debated on the floor of the United States Senate, and if we get on this bill, any senator could offer the exact idea that Jeannie just offered, and if 51 U.S. senators said, yes, we like the idea of an excise tax to, you know, create a federal program to cover people with pre-existing conditions, that could be part of the replace package. That's where debate needs to happen.
We're going to take the final call of the day. Scott in Colorado. Scott, we got a minute left, but I think you got a great question, so I wanted to get to it.
Okay, guys, thanks for my call. My question is, these five resisting senators, you know, said they'd vote for the repeal, now they're not. Yeah. What are the reasons they're getting uniform? Are they varied? What are they saying publicly
about
that?
I'd say these are all moderates, so there's some uniformity there. I think most of it's politics. And they didn't just say they would vote for this, Scott. They cast this exact yes vote. They voted for it. They didn't say they were going to vote for it. They actually did vote for it in December of 2015, and then in 2016, voted again for it to try and override President Obama's veto. See, now they know, though, President Trump will sign into law, which means they will own the repeal of Obamacare politically, which you think they'd want since they campaigned on it, and it gives them 2 years to put in place a better healthcare system for our country. That's why they need to vote yes. You call them at 202-224-3121. We'll keep you updated on social media and at ACLJ.com.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be double. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at AC.